This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Fresh off a ACC Network crew party at the Smoking Pig, ladies and gentlemen, please let's welcome Eric McLean to the proceedings here.
Come on, Mark. Guys. Hey, great shout out there, Wes. Hey, look, he took big time care of us. My man Barry at the Smoking Pig, a couple of folks that had never been there before. That was their first time. And man, they treated us right. And it was great food as always. And we got to get you guys down here next. We got to figure that out.
Dude, come on. We're regulars.
I'm just proud that on this Friday morning at 9:02 a.m. that you come on the show and there's not a giant barbecue stain over your left shoulder.
I had to change shirts for you guys. It was earlier, but I changed shirts for you guys.
In a stunning development, the ACC Network programming executives have locked in Eric McLean to be part of Clemson's road trip tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. Very good scheduling. Tremendous assignment on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app. Yes, sir.
You know why I'm glad you guys are in Clemson today, Eric? Because we had ESPN executives wandering around in our backyard during the show yesterday trying to figure out a way to get in. And I was like, man, y'all need to get out of here. I mean, you won't let us leave. You guys hit the road, go down to 85, get you some barbecue and see the Tigers. So they're out of here. All the stray ESPN executives are now off my property. So it's a win-win proposition.
Good. Yeah. I love it.
All right. We talked to you when practice was starting about Clemson. They're now into game week preparation for Georgia. Grace Rayner was with us earlier. What's your biggest concern 8 days from kickoff in Uptown Charlotte?
Well, so we were actually asked this question yesterday when we got to speak to the media, Kelsey Riggs and myself. And I think with Clemson guys, you can honestly say that there aren't concerns with this team. I mean, they just reload and rebuild and are just so ready for any given moment that there's not really a concern. There's points of interest. I think that's a better way to say it. After everyone watched that Ohio State game, I think you'd be lying if you didn't say you're going to be really closely watching the defensive backfield and the offensive line for Clemson, especially against this Georgia, defensive line that has an All-American that's a freak of nature, is 6'6", 340 pounds and ready to rumble. And then, of course, a wide receiver core that is injured and banged up but has some speedy guys, for Georgia, and a quarterback that there's a lot of excitement and expectation around, on that side of the ball. So those are the two position groups that I'm going to be really dialed in on and focusing in this Georgia game to kind of be a measuring stick to see where they can be the rest of the season.
Eric, explain for folks Clemson, Georgia, because you're talking about unbelievable passion, incredible places to watch games, 65 miles apart, two different states, two different leagues. One guy's won some natties that will remind the other guy you haven't won one since 80. They'll go back and forth with all-time records. I mean, it's really a great rivalry, but we don't get it every year. But we're going to start getting it more consistently in the 20s.
This is one of my favorite rivalry games, Pac. One of my favorite games in general, just to see because of the history, because of the passion, because of the proximity geographically and how close these guys are to each other. And just historically some great battles. And when you look at this 13 game that's playing here, how electric that was in the Valley and to be a part of that and to see the atmosphere. That's one of my favorite games of all time as a Clemson Tiger. Then, of course, the next year, Coach Rick had those boys ready to rumble. And, Todd Gurley, I think, still scored. He just scored another rushing touchdown. So it's a fun matchup going way back into the 80s. My father-in-law was on some of those teams and going against Herschel Walker and the great teams that they had. It's rich tradition. I wish it happened annually. But like you said, we will get to see it a little bit more than we have recently.
Were the Danny Ford, Vince Dooley games any good there, Pat?
That was my heyday.
Smokes.
We lived those.
That's right.
That was so awesome.
I still remember sitting in Sanford Stadium and Kevin Butler kicked it. And I'm like, man, wow. What? Oh, that thing would have been good from 85 yards. And I remember sitting there
Pack,
with David Treadwell from – what's that?
Is it true that the fan bases just got too crazy that they had to stop playing each other? That's what I've heard. Is that true or not?
I don't know if that was true or not. I
think there was some Danny Ford, Vince Dooley in it.
Very, very disappointed.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Georgia and Florida, the SEC and the rough shot and all the things that were combining in the SEC at the time. Remember, this was before divisions. That's the thing to remember.
That's right.
And a lot of this came down to you had to be a zero or a one to get to the quote unquote, whatever your national championship game was in the 80s. And
right. That's
when non-conference schedules, in all honesty, Eric, behind the Georgia Clemson, when they quit playing Pac, that's when non-conference schedules kind of became, you know, three cupcakes and a ice cream. I mean, it really did, in all honesty, right, Pac?
Hey,
we're playing
the
11 games. I think that had a lot
to
do with it.
The alliance is going to change it all. Let's go.
Well, we're going to see what that turns into. But, just to speak for the 80s a second, which seems like 100 years ago.
It's only 40.
I know. But those two teams and those coaches and those games, when you go back through history between these two and go through the 80s, they had such epic wars. And I mean games that you just could not believe that, man, is this guy going to try an 800-yard field goal? Yes, and he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Is David Treadwell going to absolutely slice your heart out in the same building at the buzzer? Yes. And I still remember doing the radio network back then, putting that together. I still can hear Jim Phillips' call with David Treadwell making that field goal. Because we were all there when you saw Butler in 84, I think it was 84, kick it literally 84 yards. I mean, they've had phenomenal games with great teams and legendary coaches. And I'm just thrilled for the game because it needs to be played. And I think both fan bases are pumped.
Eric, Pac's going to be out of town. Do you need four down low or something next Saturday? Has anybody hit you up for maybe four down low since you're working for the big network now, huh?
You wouldn't believe how many ticket requests have came through my line here. And you work for ESPN, right? So you have tickets to every game imaginable, right?
Yeah.
I wish.
Eric, people just assume if you have an association with a team or ESPN or SiriusXM that apparently somewhere in your backyard there's an oak tree that has tickets that grow from the trunk. People just assume, I know you got five laying around. No, I got nothing.
Right.
I got two dogs and a good attitude. Yeah. That's what I got.
That's all I got too, man. That's it.
All right, let's attack a couple of things here. We'll do the one that we talked with Grace Rayner about in hour one. One of the great medical miracles of all time is Tyson Pumichon practicing. Eric, I don't care what in the world anybody says.
Listen, guys, when I saw Clemson tweet out a video that was showing him running in the first practice of fall camp, I was just, is that a different guy? Did Clemson get a transfer and he looks just like this guy? And then yesterday in practice, seeing it for my own eyes, I mean, he's probably not 100%, but he is 99%. I mean, he is sprinting, cutting. It is unbelievable to see what that young man has been able to do. Talking with Coach Schroeder yesterday, saying it's just, he's blown us all away with his recovery and how he attacked it with physical therapy and rehab, and really has just been all into getting back. And he's available week one. Wes, when you and I were on the call for the spring game, there's no shot that I thought that was going to be happening. And here we are. It's a miracle, to be honest.
Your impressions of tape, watching camp, everything else. I mean, we keep hearing about this Will Shipley kid from right here, literally in our backyard. But it sounds like he has put on some kind of exhibition so far in the last couple of weeks.
Pat, there's nobody that I've heard more preseason hype and excitement about since maybe Sammy Watkins, when you're talking about a true freshman. And we all know what he went on to do and the freshman year that he had. Talking with Taj Boyd, who's now back working with the program, this kid's just different. He's the hardest worker on the team. I talked to the weight room staff. He does so much extra work. It's incredible to see how he is almost already a pro at 18, 17, however old he is, years old, and just stepping on campus. I mean, it's tremendous. And then physically, you see his speed, guys, is lights out, his explosiveness. And yesterday wasn't, a live practice, so I didn't get to see him run through tackles. But you can just tell that he's running with violence and with ill intention. So cannot wait to see just his involvement. You know, it's one thing to have all the physical tools, but, you know, how much of the playbook do you understand, and can you, you know, go out there and execute? So if none of that's holding him back, man, I expect him to have a really big impact in not only this game, but the entire season for the Tigers.
All right, Eric, let's get to the line, because Grace talked about Matt Bockhorst potentially staying at center, and that would mean Marcus Tate, who we got a chance to see in the spring game, play in the offensive line. You comfortable with kind of the way that may turn out?
Well, if you guys remember back when we did the spring game, Wes, you and Roddy and I were just talking about Tate and how massive he was and how quick he was with his feet. But again, if you remember, we discussed he's probably a guard and he probably should move inside. Right. He played at left tackle for the entire spring game, and now it's sounding like he's getting those reps and he's playing, you know, some guard, moving around a little bit. So is Matt Bockhorst. So comfortable, sure. I mean, what we saw from the spring game, good on good, going against these freaky defensive ends. Yeah, I'm comfortable, and he's probably even better on the inside where it's more of a phone booth and not out in space. So whoever goes out there first, they're going to be more than ready and excited to play and, you know, going to be able to execute at the highest level. I think that's, again, how important that is to know the playbook, to understand the playbook. Don't be a liability mentally when you're out on the field.
Eric, how many plays into the Georgia game do you think people around the country are going to go, oh, man, I forgot about Justin Ross?
Over and over again, Pac. So we already recorded a little behind the scenes action. We already recorded our, you know, kind of preview for this game on the podcast, and I have Justin Ross as my MVP of the game. I think this is going to be his, oh, y'all forgot about me party. This is going to be, I'm going to remind you who I am party. And I think it's going to be well over 100 yards. I think if he has the day, I think maybe it's 200 yards. I think he's going to be that impactful. And just he's a freak, man. And seeing him out there, him cutting, him running, he just, you know, he's going to remind everybody quickly who he is.
All right, you're back at Clemson. I know you get by there when you can. I need you to do me a favor today.
I can do it.
I need you to swing by the basketball office. I wouldn't do this except I got you here to take.
Oh, here we go. Come on.
I need you to swing by the men's basketball office and ask the GA for $35 to pay for a parking ticket he's yet to pay me back for.
I'll do it. I'll be your collector. I'll go do that. No problem.
How about that?
No problem.
I tell you what, he'll find out that the Death Valley Towing is very efficient.
No. This actually dates back to a parking ticket last semester at Kennesaw.
I heard that, but you didn't hear what I said.
I heard Death Valley Towing.
Right.
Yeah,
he's going to find out how they are tremendous.
So we're doing. They are. We're doing the open of the show at the Rock here in about 10 minutes.
Oh, of course.
I'm a little worried that my truck is going to get towed.
Hey,
I'm a little scared
something.
To be honest.
No disrespect, but they've towed bigger names than you, and I saw it.
Yeah, they towed John Swafford.
I did too.
The commissioner was sitting there at the Rock, and they're like, "Yeah, that's cool. That tar is out of here."
Hey, welcome, commiss. Go get your car. See you later.
Glad you got the network off the ground. Speaking of off the ground, so are your front tires. We're going to just take that thing right on out of here. Hey, by the way, before I let you go, by the time the ACC Network executives and all you talking heads got down eating all that pig, did you stop by Max Drive-In on the way
home?
Just
come
get
on
a double
now.
Cheese
oh,
and top it
that's
off?
That's a secret. That's a secret between us. I'm not letting anybody else in on that one, Pac. That's a local thing only.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Friday version. Mark Richt will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes to talk football and his new book, Make the Call. Check it out.
Looking forward to that in a few minutes. Dabo Swinney joined us on Wednesday in case you missed it. Quite simply, we started where most conversations right now should start. The build-up to next Saturday night. Kick in Uptown Charlotte at Bank of America against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, it's as expected. You know, these are two great programs. You know, over the last decade, these two programs have represented, you know, the best of the best. I mean, both teams have been in the playoffs. Both teams have been in national championships. Mm. Both teams recruit well. We recruit a lot of the same, you know, territory and things like that. You know, both teams in the top five preseason and all that stuff. So, you know, and then it's Clemson, Georgia, the history of Clemson, Georgia that goes back for, you know, years and years and years. You know, fans are excited and always have been. We've had a couple of matchups with them, one here, one there. Now we got a neutral site. So, you know, I think people are excited. And then you throw in the fact that nobody was at the games last year and people are excited to come and get back in the stands and be able to see some football and then in particular a game like this of this magnitude. I mean, it's a heavyweight matchup right out of the gate. So and then in college football, there's so much unknown, especially in an opener. You know, we don't get any preseason games, so you don't get – I mean, it's for real the first time you take, you know, a step on the field and then throw in the fact that it's two really high-level teams playing each other. Just generates a lot of conversation.
Have you hit all the benchmarks that you expected to in the preseason? I mean, now that you're turning your attention to the opener, are you to the point where you're fairly satisfied with what the 2021 Clemson process is going to look like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get 25 days that you can, you know, get on the field with these 25 practices where you can get on the field with these guys in a 29-day period. You know, we've had a very smooth camp. I've been, you know, fortunate. You know, last year was crazy with so much change and injuries mm-hmm. and things like that. This year has been very smooth. The guys have done a great job. We've got a lot of veterans. So we have 135 on the team, and 68 of those guys are third, fourth, fifth, sixth year players. So, you know, that's really been good because those guys provide a lot of experience and leadership. And then we have 67 first and second year players who really haven't had a normal season yet. So there's this just amount of enthusiasm and energy, and we're a talented roster. So it's been great competition. But yeah, we've been able to kind of settle in on what we need to do to, you know, take the next step, which is to go play and then, you know, go from there. But we got a lot of installation done for the season. Pleased with that. And again, injury wise, we're in a pretty good spot right now. So hopefully that'll stay that way. And then the leadership has really, been great. So I think now it's just a point of, you know, just so many things going into this first game, ready to just kind of get in the rhythm of the season.
Coach, a lot of hype about your team on the defensive side, and rightfully so, but I want to go to your offensive line. From a personal standpoint, I'm fascinated to watch those guys up front against a really, really talented Georgia defensive line. What have you seen with the offensive line play in August as far as practice and scrimmages and everything else?
We're better, you know, we're better than we were at this point last year. And, you know, last year was be honest with you, we were really fortunate. That was the one position that we really had some continuity with our first five. And we were really lucky because, honestly, we really only had about six guys that we felt like we could win with. And one of those was a true freshman in Walker Parks. And the rest of the guys, just they were coming, but just not quite there. And now fast forward a whole year, we just have developed more depth there. You know, I think we've got 9 or 10 guys that we can play. And so from that standpoint, I think we're much better because we do have, you know, more functional guys that have gotten better another year in the system and so forth. And I feel good about, you know, the talent that we have there. So we still got a lot of work to do. We got to get better there, you know, and that's what you go play these games for. But I like our starting five. I like our 6, 7, 8, and 9. And hopefully when it's all said and done, we'll have 10, 11 guys that are really going to be able to play winning football for us. So, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup right out of the gate. You know, these old boys are they've been number one in the country against the rush, number one rush defense 2 years in a row. So nobody's run the football in Georgia. And if you look at them up front, you kind of see why. These are big, strong, stout, you know, dudes and, you know, well coached. So great at backer. You got two great safeties. You know, they're built strong up the middle. and that makes them tough. So it's going to be a big challenge right out of the gate. We'll get our money's worth, that's for sure.
All right, but it's got to be a good day when number 8 comes back out there to catch the rock, though, right? I mean, because we talked about it in the spring when Roddy and I and Emac were with you for the spring game. I mean, the competitive depth is one thing, but when you got a guy that's got the talent level of number 8 and Justin Ross, that's a difference maker right there.
Yeah, I love our talent at the receiver position, first of all. We've got a great receiving core. But Jay Ross, man, I mean, he's special. And you know, first of all, you know, as a player, I mean, he's so gifted. But then, you know, what he's dealt with over this past 19 months and how he has you know, grinded and handled the storm and kept the faith and just, you know, got through some tough days. I mean, I'm just so proud of him, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for, you know, just amazing doctors, you know, because I honestly didn't think he'd ever play football again when at the very beginning of this. And to see where he is now, I mean, it's just incredible. It really is. And, you know, to see him out there scrimmaging and you know, being tackled and so forth, it's just a blessing. It just all you can do is smile. But he's really full of joy. He's excited about going and doing what he loves to do, and he's special. There's no doubt about it. And again, we've got I think a great room at receiver. But he's definitely the alpha.
He is, and it's great for college football, the work he's put in. There were a lot of folks, as Coach pointed out, that wasn't sure if he was going to play again. Yep. And we forgot about him in 2020 because we didn't see him. But as I mentioned, Eric McClain, I don't think it's going to take long to realize number 8's back on the field, and he is a major weapon for the Tigers.
Yep.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Busy, busy day. Last Friday before ACC football, so you got your weekend to get it done. Next week, serious business.
We got some games this weekend, but next weekend.
No, ACC football.
Yeah, we're locked in next week.
I mean, if you want to get Nebraska, Illinois all over you.
Hawaii, UCLA.
Right. By the way, Chip Kelly has not won a non-conference game.
Oh, jeez.
Since he's been at UCLA. The right. Only football bowl division team without a W in the non-conference.
Let's bring a coach on, shall we? And here is the coach, analyst, author of Make the Call. There he is, kids. Please welcome Mark Richt back to Packer and Durham here. First of all, congratulations on the book. I know this it's a love affair to be able to put these thoughts and these experiences on paper. I do have one thing I want to ask about, Coach. Is there anything about jumping off the bridge in Boca Raton in the book?
Yes. No, the jumping off the bridge is a great story. Got to read the book.
Yeah, you got to read the book. But it was all about vanity. It was all about getting shown up by a surfer boy. And I had to pick up the pace. I wasn't sexy enough, so I had to learn how to do it.
Coach, I always scribble down notes when I read books. And the first thing I'm going to say to you in this segment is you put a Bible verse. And this is what I loved about the book, because you tell great football stories. So for the football sports fan, you take people all over the place. But there's also a meaning and a message about how you conduct yourself, how you live your life. Your faith is incredibly important to you, and you tie the whole thing in together. But I couldn't help but write down a Bible verse that you put in there, and you said, "He who restrains his words has knowledge." And I wrote that down. I said, "You know what? I hope that doesn't apply to this interview, because I want you to tell some stories."
Right. But well, some things are better left unsaid, for sure.
You're right. But there's great messages, though, about life and how you go about treating people and, you know, getting your act together. I mean, you put in so many things. And one of the other cool things I thought was you said, you know, turnovers are bad in football, but turnovers are essential in life. Explain that to the listeners and the viewers.
Well, turnovers basically is change. Obviously in a football game, you don't want to fumble the ball. You don't want to throw interceptions, and turnovers are bad in that sense. If you're on offense, if you're on defense, they're great. But turnover or change obviously is essential. And if you don't handle change well, you don't handle the turnovers well, then you struggle. And, you know, one of the greatest examples would be just coaching in general. You know, as a head coach, you're going to lose some staff sometimes. You're going to lose players every year because of the nature of, you know, college football. So you got to be able to adapt. And, you know, things like the NIL and the transfer portal and all that. If you want to throw your hands up in the air with all this change and say this stinks, you know, you're going to get left by the wayside. So you got to be able to roll with the punches. But not only that, you know, embrace change and find out the best ways to use it.
Coach, the other aspect about this time of year for someone like yourself is, even though you're away from the game, the mentality of the game and the start of the season, the adrenaline still pumps a different way right now, doesn't it?
No, it does for sure. I mean, Thursday night we start with NC State versus South Florida, and we'll actually have our stage set up there in Raleigh, which will be a lot of fun. Then we get back in the studio and handle a Friday night game and all day Saturday. So the grind is about to begin. It's not quite the same grind as you have as a coach, but the adrenaline does flow, and it's going to be just so much fun to watch these young people do their thing.
Coach, again, there's so many cool stories in your book. One of the things that jumped out to me, too, especially here from an ACC perspective, is when you were at Florida State, you take a great team up there with Bobby Bowden to Virginia, and they get you, right? They beat you. And you remember, you tell the story about after the game, you ended up walking down the steps through the fans, and you had to go through the Virginia locker room to get to the Florida State locker room. And you saw their dog pile and just the pure celebration, the real definition of joy. You put in all the hard work, and now you celebrate it. And you talked about you guys are winning at such a ridiculous pace at Florida State, blowing everybody away, that it just became kind of routine. And it was a life lesson in the sense that, hey, enjoy every day. Enjoy the successes of life, as big or small as they may be, and don't take them for granted.
Yeah, that is 100% right. And like you said, we had gotten to the point, we had won so many games in the league. No one had beaten us. We'd won the conference. You know, everything was all about the national championship. But we forgot to celebrate the smaller victories along the way, I believe. And I mean, our locker room scene was never like that unless – we might have beat Miami or beat Florida or played, you know, for a national championship. But the rest of the season, it was a little bit of ho-hum, and I think it was healthy for us to get our butts beat. And I think it was healthy for me as an assistant coach and then eventual head coach to learn to celebrate the moments that you have, because victories are not that easy to get.
When you look at kind of the way this whole thing sets up, and I know you talked about the process in the book as well of being the assistant coach and all the life experiences that lead up to it. Boy, the industry is still about some basic pillars. Certainly one of them, leadership, right? And I think you saw that working with Coach Bowden for so many years, and then it carried over to your own programs in Athens and in Coral Gables.
Well, you know, a lot of assistant coaches, when they finally become head coach, they might have been at four or five or six different schools and six different ways of doing things. I mean, I was very fortunate to be 15 years at Florida State with Coach Bowden, and I knew one way. I knew the Coach Bowden way. I knew the Florida State way, and obviously we were very successful during that time frame. So you had a lot of credibility going into it, but you also, you know, people would say, would you call Coach Bowden and ask for his advice? I didn't have to. I lived with the guy for 15 years. You know, what would Bobby Bowden do was in my brain all the time, because we modeled our program after what we did at Florida State.
Coach, I know you took a great deal of pride and joy in calling plays. In fact, it was one of the things I know that hooked you with Miami and everything else. But I thought the book was interesting when you were discussing the joy of when it all comes together. You call the play, guys execute, you put in the blood, sweat, and tears, and man, the defense is in the perfect spot, so go take advantage of it. But you also tell some stories in the book about where you would make a play, you'd make a play call, and you realize, uh-oh, they didn't switch to what I thought. And in your ear, you'd hear, "Dadgummit, I wouldn't have made that call." And that was coming from Bobby Bowden, who would occasionally remind you, hey, what do we do? But here's the thing I want to know, those stories. And again, the book's great, all right? And again, check it out, make the call. But was his tone just like it always is on game day when he would say, you know, hey, dadgum, and I don't think I made that, or was it a different octave? I'm just curious.
It was pretty hot. And the first time he did that was the first third down of the year. Charlie Ward is in 1992, the starting quarterback for the first time. And it's third and long. We got a square and wide open. Charlie's adrenaline overthrows the square and into the safety's arms. And that's exactly the first thing Coach Bowne said. He said, "Dad, Gammon, I never would have called that play." But then later on in the season, I called a reverse, and he goes, "I'm the only one that calls trick plays around here." So there were a couple times, seriously, I would go to his office on a Sunday afternoon and just say, "Coach, if you want to call the plays again, let me know. I'll be happy to turn it back over." But he's like, "Oh, no, buddy, don't listen to me." He goes, "You're doing a good job." But it had to be hard for him. I mean, he called plays his entire career, and he finally allowed us to do it. And then Charlie goes on the interception spree. And so, you know, things got a little dicey there for a minute.
I love it.
All right. We got a lot of things covered here in this show today. Matt Klein apparently took some crew to Smoking Pig last night on the road trip at Clemson.
Nice.
But you didn't miss a chance at Havana Harry's the other day, did you?
Oh, no. That when I landed in Miami, the first, you know, the drive back, you drive right past on Lejeune Road, Havana Harry's. And I'm like, the guy who's driving me, I'm like, "Have you had lunch yet?" He said, "No, I haven't." So we go to Havana Harry's and you know, true to form, there's no parking spot. You can forget it. Sure. And in Miami, there really aren't parking spots. You just set it somewhere and hope they don't tow you. But bottom line is we got in there and I got my chicken vodka frita and it was so good. I can't even tell you. And then, of course, there was enough for breakfast the next day. So I didn't even have to get out of bed to get some more. But it was a great chance to do that. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, after what you've been through, you know, you better pace yourself down there, my
man. Come on now.
You got to pace yourself.
Well, it's really not bad. Rice, beans, and chicken, and some grilled onions. So it wasn't too bad. It could have been worse.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, the book's great, man. I'm just telling you, if you're a college football junkie, you will love the stories. And more importantly, there's life messages and meanings. And, Coach, you did a really nice job tying them all together. You really did.
Thank you, gentlemen. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Stay well. We'll see you soon. Looking forward to seeing you next week in Raleigh, Coach.
Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you bet. Mark Richt. All right, Coach. See you next Thursday. That's awesome.
And our thoughts and prayers for Coach.
Right? Oh, man.
He's such a great dad. Yeah. So easy to root for. But the book's good. Again, we tell you all the time, if you're looking for some time before we get the kick, you'll zip right through it. There's some great, great, great Bobby Bowden stories in there.
And he does a really good job, too, of taking you behind the scenes on a handful of plays and a handful of calls. And it's a unique treat. Guy who's had his experience, it's well done.
Yep.
Very well done.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Steve Forbes at Wake Forest has co-hosted this show.
He has.
Yeah. And look forward to having him back.
I believe the only coach to have co-hosted the program.
That's right.
We've had Jeff Collins in here with his four wardrobe changes.
Right.
Spent an hour and others. But Forbes is
he's
rocking
single,
now. This guy is a trip.
I'm going to tell you that in October, if we do like on set for ACC basketball tip-off thing, you know, the –
You mean when we leave here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I think we're going to get to go some places. Well, and now it's only uptown, but we're going to get to go.
Oh, wow. 3 miles.
I know. Hey,
that's a start.
That's a start.
Got to walk before you run.
Steve Forbes will be fun to have on set now.
He can host it.
I know. If you don't think Steve Forbes wants your business, here is a return to campus in Winston-Salem earlier this week.
I'm the basketball coach.
I'm Coach Forbes. I'm the men's basketball coach. Nice to meet you guys.
Bring them over, guys.
Now, you got to keep
Non-alcoholic, isn't that?
Water. Just want to introduce myself. Hope you guys come see us play.
Oh, Isaiah Mucius, come on over here. Isaiah, introduce yourself. Say's from New York. Want to shoot a hoop on the Deacon for a popsicle? Come see us play.
Hell yeah.
Get in the Joel. Let's have a good time. Did you get your koozie?
No, I did not.
Give them a koozie.
Oh, what's going on here?
Get a koozie, too? It's a hell of a deal.
Oh!
Everybody wins around here. Just come see us play, please.
What?
You need to meet them.
I'll keep an eye out for them.
Seriously. Cam, some kid just walked by from London, England.
Come on here with the people.
Five text messages. Lefty, oh. Come see us play, man.
You ducked on.
Cleveland, Ohio. I love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cleveland. Boy, I love the kids. Oh, that was a good four.
If you're looking for an undersized slow shooting guard, you let me know.
We got plenty of that. We got plenty of that. Those are everywhere. Mark, no offense. No offense.
My brother played against you at ETSU. He played for Tuscaloosa.
He got a butt whooping, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
100%.
100% whooping.
What's the chance I can dunk on him?
Oh, don't do it, dude. Go,
go, go.
Do what I tell you. No, do it.
Go ahead. There you go.
How about the poor guy? My brother played against you when he was at ETSU. He was at Tuscaloosa. He got a butt whooping, didn't he?
How do you not like that guy? Seriously. Steve Forbes is a trip. And I know, again, classes, I guess it had not started. But can you imagine being late for your first class? Hey, this is Wake Forest. We don't cut corners. You show up for class. Yeah, but I was slam dunking on the Demon Deacon in the quad, talking to coach.
Right.
I mean, he's just having a good time, man. He is awesome. Yeah. Really good.
What an interesting week this has been, Mark Packer. Another week of here we are sitting on the front porch of college athletics again, right?
Well, the Alliance announcement, again, took it to another level with stuff, which all summer between Austin Case with the NCAA,
right.
What happens to the NCAA, transfer portal. We go through the whole list, the whole litany of items. And I'll just say it again. It's the most fascinating time in the history of college athletics right now because we're watching the transition happen right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And while we get excited next week for the start of ACC football, I know fans just are ready for games, and they've almost kind of philosophied out and, you know,
right.
Lawyered out in some respects with all these other topics. But what we do, you know, we got to address all this stuff, and we did during the summer. But, you know, I'm like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You're just ready for football. And I know the ACC doesn't get cranked up till next week when we hit the road to go to Raleigh on Thursday. But, you know, this weekend is week zero. Doesn't involve any ACC teams.
Right.
But it may be like the perfect appetizer for you to watch Nebraska and Illinois and go, man, so cool to see fans back in the stands. We have real football getting cranked up. This game matters from a conference race in the Big Ten. And next week, it's our turn.
Yeah.
We get Virginia Tech, North Carolina 1 week from tonight, which will be awesome. And, of course, it all gets started with NC State on Thursday. And just a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday plethora of ACC football, and it can't get here fast enough.
Thanks to this is who we had this week now, just this week on the show. Joe Zagacki, Nicole Auerbach, David Hale, Roddy Jones, Jim Phillips, the commissioner, Adam Rittenberg.
That's Jim Phillips, the commissioner? That Jim Phillips?
That Jim Phillips.
Okay, thanks.
Dabo Sweeney.
Right.
Bubba Cunningham, Marcus Hagans, Grace Rayner, Tom Luganville, Dino Babers, Eric McLean, Mark Ray. I mean, we're rolling them now.
Well, we got a great staff that puts all this stuff together. We literally just get in front of the parade and try to get this thing between the ditches into the finish line each and every day. But the staff, again, that's why I call them the smart people up in Bristol.
Yeah,
they're the ones that put this thing together. But I do believe that America is ready for football.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to NFL preseason. When I know you got the Falcons, but
yeah.
I'm talking about folks who love Saturday football, college football. It is go time beginning tomorrow.
All right. Some of you on this show earlier today heard me refer to my son owing me $35 for a parking ticket he sustained in his spring semester at Kennesaw State University. And some have questioned, why'd you call your kid out?
Poor parenting.
Not really. Because earlier this week, my son did this to me.
Oh, I saw this.
Can we get the mustache back for the first football call? Give the network fans what they deserve.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a gold chain. That's a gold chain, too. Uh-huh. It's a gold chain.
Man, you were styling, my man. I got to tell you, you go back to that 80s, 90s era, you could see some real quality production. I'll just tell you that right now. Big man.
By the way, that was after my freshman year at Elon College. So those of you that I'll see
later. How
many
freshman years did you have?
Just
there?
One.
Just one? That's pretty good.
Those of you I'll see later tonight at Apex High School, you had no idea what
that
was
about. Oh, that's
right.
You get the Hall of Famer tonight.
They're very kind.
Bring out the big H right there behind Dave Dorn's pancakes.
Yep.
There it is.
Thanks to the folks. See you tonight in Apex. You're very kind to put me on a list of people that richly deserve being put in your Athletics Hall of Fame.
Wes, by the way, is showcasing the one letter grade he never received. Hey, that
yeah,
is a great
and
look.
More of this while we're at it.
That's a great huh? look. So we got Dave Dorn as Kevin Costner and you as Tom Selleck. Is that what we're going on?
Allegedly. I never said I look like Tom Selleck. Drew's the one that said I look like Tom Selleck.
I got to tell you, Wes, seriously.
What?
I think you can
pull... My mother is like, you got to be kidding me right now.
And I mean this in all sincerity.
What?
I think you could pull that off now.
I think you need to stop.
Seriously. No. I think if you showed up, like... Well, it's hard to do since you do a daily show because people could see the growth.
Remember when I cut my chin?
Yeah, well, that was a tough deal.
And then I came here and was having all the beer, yeah, and you guys were looking at me like, what is that?
It looked like, you look like you and the cat had rolled around in something. Saying.
Let me just tell you that there'd be a lot of gray in it right now.
It's all right. Look at me.
You it takes think one
I,
to know one.
You think I care about hair product?
Go ahead, Chester.
I think you could pull that look.
Really,
off
we're
again.
Gonna go to. We're gonna end the week on this, huh?
I Great. Do.
Wow, that's where we are, huh? Boy, we need football.
You said it was a great week of shows. This is a perfect. Hey, you were running your mouth about it. Now you got it.
Hey, Will, Eric McClain will be there all day. You're welcome to pay him $35.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.